Steelers Nation, mandatory minicamp is indeed tomorrow. Everybody is under contract. Everybody showed up. Everybody's getting their reps in.
No drama.
Which means we are getting closer and closer to Steelers football, which is a good thing.
As it is June 1st, it is a fresh month, it is a new month, and we are nearly towards the return of NFL football, finally.
It's still taking a little too long for me.
I know, we got another 15 Sundays to go through.
Yeah, but who's counting?
We're getting there. We're getting there.
We're getting closer and closer, but in this video, we really wanted to talk about the defense, specifically our new defensive coordinator, who's going to have full say on his defense, Patrick Graham. We're going to talk about Patrick Graham and his influence and what he could be bringing to a Steelers defense that absolutely needed a change of scenery and needed a change of just a different coordinator or a different person in charge.
Just leading the way, just a whole new look on the defense, considering the star power and the all-stars and the pedigree that they have. The defense needed it because if you've been a Steelers fan for as long as we have, under Mike Tomlin, it's just been outdated. So under Patrick Graham, we're hoping for something new, something fresh, something more dominant, something more lethal. We'll get into it in this very video, as well as some OTA notes that have come out within the past 2 weeks.
Yes. The Steelers defense, as we know, under Tomlin, under Terrell Austin, the last number of years, they've had the star power, especially last year. They've had the star power. You guys already know the names. Steelers still have a lot of that star power, as a matter of fact, on the defense. Because one thing McCarthy has mentioned since being the new head coach is that Tomlin and Khan and everybody has really handed him a great roster of a lot of young talent and great veteran guys as well. Older guys, especially on the defense, like Ramsey, Watt, Hayward, although they can still play at a decent level, some better than others, there is a bit of an older presence on the defense compared to the other side of the football, where it's a lot younger outside of the quarterback. But they did give McCarthy a stacked team. More stacked than what Patrick Graham had to deal with in Las Vegas the past 3-4 years he's been their defensive coordinator.
Basically his entire stint as Raiders DC.
Yes. So that defense, like you look at the Steelers defense, they have the star power, but there were constant issues where there was miscommunication or there was blown coverage, missed tackles. There was just all the reoccurring issues we saw year in and year out with zone coverage and just it was a lot of bad issues with the defense that it seemed like they never went away.
Specifically the passing defense, and I think that was very evident last year with their rankings. Because the Steelers' rankings, overall, their defensive rankings was 26th overall in the NFL. But their pass defense was 29th in the NFL. Steelers have not had a bad passing defense since 2015. I think we know what that defense had. Who they had, who was playing.
I can name you the entire starting lineup for that defense, but I won't to spare you.
Yeah, but 29th passing defense in the NFL.
Last year.
That's what the likes of the Ravens and the Cowboys, I believe, up there.
Oof.
And we know they weren't good last year whatsoever. And you look at the star power with Jalen Ramsey and JPJ, guys like that, Deshaun Elliott when he was healthy. You got those recognizable players. You got those guys that can get the job done. They've shown it time and time again. But when you have a coach like Mike Tomlin and a coach like Terrell Austin leading the charge, specifically Tomlin, it was always Tomlin's defense. It never changed, no matter what.
Yeah, it was his scheme. It was mostly his say and his game plan.
But I don't think Terrell Austin helped one bit because that man was not a defensive coordinator.
Well, it didn't help.
What was it? The Lions.
It was with the Lions, and then he went to the Bengals got fired.
That's right. I forgot about that. It was the Bengals. Yeah, he got fired.
And then he came to us as an assistant secondary coach, where he was really good. He was very good as a position coach and a secondary coach. Unfortunately, he was good enough to get lended a promotion for DC, and thus we had to deal with what we had to deal with.
Yeah. And our pass defense again last year wasn't good. Like, if we can recall back to the Thursday night football game versus the Bengals, the Unk Bowl, Jamar Chase had 16 catches. On his 16th catch, if you remember, he was wide freaking open.
Yeah.
When the Steelers had the lead and they had to make a final stop to win the game, Jamar Chase was left alone. Nobody was covering him. If you recall the Bengals game beforehand, which was the last regular season game, when we were on a 3-game losing streak until we lost 4 straight, and we know how that season ended.
That was when we had Russ at quarterback.
That was when Corey Trice was 1-on-1 with him that game. And Corey Trice is no longer a Steeler. He's not here no more.
Yeah, he failed a physical. He's no longer a Steeler. But in that stretch, he was 1-on-1 with the best receiver in football.
Yeah, but not JPJ. They had JPJ on T. Higgins.
Well, it didn't help. They didn't have a safety up top to help out Corey Trice.
No, but they left Corey Trice alone. They left him to deal with Chase by himself. Yeah, they basically fed him to the Wolves.
This was a seventh round depth piece that didn't play a. He played maybe one or two games prior to that.
He couldn't stay healthy. And then they gifted him the opportunity. He just didn't live up to it. But then again, like, you're asking the seventh rounder to deal with top three wide receiver.
How are you supposed to put your players in the best position to succeed when in reality you were putting your players in the worst position to fail?
And it goes to show coaching malpractice. And if you remember that Ravens game, that wild Ravens game where Tyler Loop missed a field goal, Tez Walker had a wide open touchdown in the first quarter. Then in the fourth quarter, when Zay Flowers had that wide open touchdown, they basically had that miscommunication again.
Yeah.
Just constant issues that were just continuous. It was a headache having to watch it.
And it didn't help that, you know, some of the secondary, you know, some of the depth wasn't that great compared to what we have now, which we'll get into. But like last year, you know, we had Darius Slay for, 10 weeks? But he literally called out the Steelers defense for a lot of issues, which rightfully so, because it just wasn't good. Darius Slay wasn't good in his own right. But he's also not wrong in his criticisms of how Austin and Tomlin were running the defense. It led to many issues. You had Juan Thornhill for a little bit. That didn't work. You had Kyle Duggar, who towards the end of the season was just a complete, liability, right? Like, he started off good, and then towards the end of the season, he was a complete liability.
He fell off. Like, that Browns touchdown to Harold Fannin, I don't know what Duggar was doing.
I don't either.
He could not track the ball whatsoever.
No.
Hence why he's now a Bengal, and God bless them.
Yeah, but
sarcastically.
It was pretty rough. But now this year, you know, you can look at the offense and the new additions we have, right? You know, Rico Dowdle. We got essentially completely young offensive line. Guys are going to switch positions, which will be interesting to see. We have Jeremy Bernard, who I'm extremely excited for. We added Michael Pittman. Aaron Rodgers is coming back, and the argument is if you give him a line, if you give him a good play caller and better weapons, it could advance the offense, and hopefully it does. But when you look at this team, you look at this upcoming season, I'm really looking forward to the defense because it feels like for the first time in a while, the defense is actually going to have a change of scenery or a sense of that change that was needed, that new leader at the helm, that new speaker essentially, right? Patrick Graham has been very underrated for pretty much his entire defensive coordinator stint, where he's been a defensive coordinator for a number of teams.
Since 2019, I think he started off as a Dolphins defensive coordinator before he had a stint with the Giants for a little bit. And then when Josh McDaniels was hired as a Raiders coach, he ended up having Patrick Graham be the DC. And he held that position with the Raiders with three different head coaches. It was Josh McDaniels, it was Antonio Pierce, and Pete Carroll.
Three different head coaches in three different years, and they still kept them through all of that.
This man has been a DC basically as long as Steve Spagnuolo for the Chiefs has been DC for them since 2019.
Right.
Just with a variety of different teams. But that goes to show his capabilities as a DC. And the past 3 years with the Raiders, he's been honestly consistent from a ranking standpoint. The Raiders defense has been quite consistent under Patrick Graham's watch as defensive coordinator.
Yes.
They've basically been 15th, 14th overall every single year since 2023.
Right.
And you look at their talent, you look at the talent that they possessed, it's not a lot of star playmakers like the Steelers basically have.
Yeah.
It's basically Max Crosby. They basically only had Max Crosby. Any other player that you can name is just like, are they even with the team anymore?
Well, I'll give you out some of the more notable names that they had. Obviously, Max Crosby is the number one guy, right? Unbelievable talent. And I'm glad he's not a Raven.
Yeah.
For one reason or another.
Big time.
Then you look at his linebacking core the past number of years. He had Robert Spillane before he went to the Patriots. He had Divine Diablo. He had Devin White and Atlanta Roberts as the starters last season. Devin White, an older Devin White and an older Atlanta Roberts were his starting linebackers all of last season.
Yeah. And that's with the front seven, but the secondary, I know he had a Trevon Mulrigg before he left, and they had
Nate Hobbs
before he left and whatnot. So of course they had to replace those players. And they have Isaiah Polamalu, Troy's nephew, and he's a very good safety for them, being an undrafted guy at that.
Yeah, Jeremy Chin last year. Eric Stokes, who just got extended by the Raiders, I believe, for what he did, right? Darian Porter. Like, you look at these names that he had, they're not the biggest names, are they? But they ranked higher in terms of statistics, higher than the Steelers.
Yeah, so, like, let's go back to 2024. When it came to the Steelers' passing defense in 2024, they were 25th. And they got worse in 2025, 29th, like I said. For the Raiders in 2024, they were 15th pass defense.
Yeah.
And then when they lost some names in the secondary to free agency, they had to replace some of those guys and develop some of those guys. And they ended up being 14th pass defense last year.
Yeah.
Again, with not much star power, not much pedigree on that Raiders defense, but Patrick Graham led them to what they needed to do. And we know how bad the Raiders were. They had the number one overall pick, but that's basically because their offense was terrible. It was very bad. What we have, what's running good with the Steelers, because the thing that was good under Tomlin was the pass rush. They knew how to get sacks.
Well, when you have T.J. Watt.
And Alex Highsmith and Nick Herbig.
And Nick Herbig, yeah, you have that edge room. It's great. Now, yeah, Watt is older. And I do feel like at some point the Steelers are going to have to make a decision regarding him or Highsmith, because Herbig has to stay. He has to.
Can he be rejuvenated under Patrick Graham?
Is he going to be moved around? You know, one thing about Watt is he was so stationary on that one side.
Like Watt would not move around. On a rare instance, you would see Watt and Highsmith swap areas, swap positions. But it was a rarity because they never moved them around. They were always stationary. And that was always the problem with the defense. It was stationary. It was predictable. I mean, how many times had many players over many years have said, yeah, we knew what they were doing. Julian Edelman constantly said it time and time again on his show.
They're running the same defense.
Yeah.
As if me and Gronk are still playing.
Yeah. That was and back remember, in 2017.
Yeah.
Like almost 10 years ago, dude.
I still remember the season opener against 2015 or the season opener in 2019. Same result. The 2016 AFC Championship game. Same result.
Yeah, same result. Same result.
That was a decade ago. Like, come on, man.
The only good things that came out of Tomlin was the pass rush because of the pass rushers that they have, the front seven that they have, and the takeaways that they were able to garnish. They were able to take away.
Yeah, that was the one thing about the Steelers' defense that remained, although the blown coverages and the rushing defense was incredibly inconsistent.
They could get turnovers, but they couldn't make a stop, hence why their rankings was 29th pass defense. They couldn't make a stop. They couldn't cover anybody.
Right.
They could get turnovers from time to time, but they couldn't make a stop. They weren't really dominant. They weren't really consistent at making stops. Not like the Broncos defense or the Texans defense.
Well,
that's a defense I'm looking for. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Especially with the talent and all the money that they've invested in the capital too, right? Like, you look at last season. Look at last season alone. Remember when Steelers fans had a funeral for the Steelers defense outside of Heinz Field?
Yeah.
And then that same Sunday.
It was the Colts game.
It was against the Colts. Then the defense just became alive.
They woke up.
They sat up like the Undertaker. Like, this, the defense had its great moments, but they also had their serious issues where it's like, here we go again. I'm hoping with Patrick Graham, it's going to be different. And the way he runs his defense is there's a lot of nickel and a lot of dime packages, which is great because we have a ton of defensive backs, and there's the old saying, you can never have too many good defensive backs. And with what Patrick Graham has to his disposal for the secondary, fully healthy, let's look at the safeties, right? You have
Elliott coming back.
Deshaun Elliott.
You brought in Jaquan Brisker.
You have Jalen Ramsey, who could be looked at as that star role or that joker role, which he used Nate Hobbs with a lot. When Nate Hobbs was with the Raiders, right?
Yes.
They can move him anywhere they want. Do you want to put him at safety? By all means. With a full offseason, potentially playing safety, that could be a good thing for Ramsey. You want to put him in the slot as the nickel corner. I think that's his best role. Like, that's the immediate impact he could have. That's fine right there. You want to put him outside? I still have PTSD over that Bengals game, but he can do it. I wouldn't. Because you have Dean and Porter.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But you could do it.
You brought in Jamel Dean to fill that outside role so you can utilize Ramsey in the slot at safety or even as a will linebacker if you want him to because he can play those positions. He can play those roles.
Yeah.
Like, the Steelers are finally starting to label the nickel position that star role like many other teams have. Tomlin and Austin never really did. They never really called it that.
No.
And again, the stuff that was good coming out of Tomlin's defense, you bring that in.
With Patrick Graham's influence.
Yeah. You already have what the Steelers defense is good at, and then you insert Patrick Graham to what he showcased, specifically with the secondary.
Yes. The secondary should see a massive improvement, not just because of the depth they have and the playmakers they have, but the mindset of how Patrick Graham utilizes his guys is he's going to incorporate a ton of these guys in a lot of his packages. Like, you're going to see Ramsey a lot in the nickel. You're probably going to see Jaquan Brisker deep, or you're going to see Elliott deep at safety. But you're going to see some Brandon Echols involved as that dime guy. You could definitely see Asante Samuel Jr. as that dime guy. If they want to get his feet wet, third-round rookie, Dalen Everett out of Georgia. That's a good way to get his feel at. That way they're not rushing him in. You got two lockdown guys that haven't allowed touchdowns in 2 years, and JPJ and Jamel Dean.
That's right.
On the boundary. Like, this defense, this secondary specifically, has so much star power, has a lot of potential, and a lot of playmakers if they stay healthy. But the way that Patrick Graham uses them is there's no set, like, starter in a certain spot. He's just continuously finding ways to put people on the field. Like, that's a great aspect of having so many defensive backs and the smarts and the mind of what Patrick Graham brings to the defense. Is he's going to bring guys in certain spots to keep them fresh, keep them healthy, and bring them in for certain packages or certain situations in the game where it's going to benefit the defense the best and benefit that player.
Yeah, because he utilized the talent to where they were good at, to where they were best at. Under Tomlin, it was always, okay, this is what I want to run, this is what we want to do, and this is how you're going to fit.
And it's putting players in the best positions to succeed.
Under Patrick Graham. Under Tomlin, it was always, this is it, and this is how you're going to fit in. It just wasn't, no. It wasn't a good puzzle fit.
No, it's not, hey, you're going to have to fit to what I want to run. It's Patrick Graham is the kind of coach where he's going to see a player, he's going to see what they are best at. He's going to see their traits and their positives. And he's going to be like, okay, me as a coach, I'm going to scheme my defense around what this guy is great at, rather than trying to have him fit what I think is best. He schemes everything around what the player is best at, which is a good thing. That's what makes a good coach. I've always said the best thing about being a good coach is how you can incorporate your scheme around the player's benefits.
And I think
the player's positives.
I think Debo said himself, Dick LeBeau, like, he got the best out of his players because he knew how to utilize them.
Yes.
How great of a coach LeBeau was.
It's all about putting your players in the best spot to succeed. Look at Bill Carr. I'm not trying to go too far back, but look at Bill Carr. Ben Roethlisberger was not meant to play his entire rookie season. He wrote it in his Heart and Steel book, right? Ben was not supposed to play his entire rookie season, but injuries happened. Ben had to be brought in incredibly early. And what did they do? They schemed the offense differently to benefit a young Ben. Like, Wisenhunt and everybody schemed their offense to fit Ben and his capabilities, which led to an undefeated record for Ben in his rookie season up until the championship game.
Of course. Backyard football style, that's just the way that Ben played, and they understood that, they recognized that, and they knew that, all right, Ben stepping in, we got to run with this guy, and we draft him for a reason. We got to make sure that we can get the most out of him. We got to make sure he succeeds.
That's what makes a great coach and a great coaching staff is they incorporate their scheme and their defense the way that it should benefit the players.
Yeah, you can't just run back with the same system or the same principle or the same scheme and just, you know, little kinks, little changes. Like Tomlin did over the years. Like, you can't do
like
that.
Like Austin, right.
You can't do that. And that's what I'm hoping that is not the case under Mike McCarthy. I don't think that will be the case. I do believe that McCarthy will give Patrick Graham full control and full-on pedal to the metal on what Patrick Graham needs to do with his talent, because you have all the talent in the world on that defense. A lot of veterans in there, but a lot of youth at the same time.
Yes.
And a lot of guys, especially on that defense, that is soon to be getting contract extensions, like JPJ, which I'm just waiting any day now. Those are the guys that Patrick Graham has under his wing and that he is going to look into, try to develop, and try to utilize.
Right.
And that, me as a fan, makes me excited because we needed a change of scenery with the team overall. But with the defense especially, like, we needed a change because when it comes to the offense, there's still some concerns with Aaron Rodgers leading the charge. We don't know how limited the offense is going to be. Hence, like, we've always had to rely on the defense for how many years?
Right.
And that very well may be the same case this year again.
And I think it's going to help the secondary out even more because Tomlin used to run a lot of single high safety or a lot of zone coverage, right?
Yeah.
It led to a lot of open receivers. I feel with Patrick Graham's defense, his split safety look is going to really benefit the defense. And it's going to benefit the players, and it's going to benefit the pass rush, because the better coverage it is, the more time the pass rush has. You know, more man coverage is much, much in the charts, because most defenses or most offenses look at the pass rush that we have and how effective it is. They don't give Hayward, Highsmith, Herbig, Watt, Harmon the time of day. They get the ball out quick because of the zone coverage. They're 10 yards off the receivers, get out quick, boom.
Yep.
Patrick Graham's going to change that. I fully believe he's going to change that. It's going to be more bump and run. It's going to be more in your face. We're going to be physical, and we're going to give the pass rush time to cook.
Well, when you have two lockdown cornerbacks on a contract in JBJ and Jamel Dean, yeah, I would say that's the way to go. That's how you should run your secondary.
And I'm hoping that, you know, his influence and how he's going to run the defense is actually going to give Watt a new sense of life.
Where
he's actually going to hopefully make more TJ Watt plays and live up to the contract that he got, that the Steelers locked themselves in. Right? He's getting up there at age. You could say he's washed. He's definitely not the same player. Is he in his prime? No, he's not in his prime. His prime's past him. But can he still be an effective pass rusher? I'm hoping with the defense, it can. It'll give him that new sense that where he can actually still make those TJ Watt plays in those crucial moments like he did many years ago. Or even for a guy like Ramsey, where he's getting up there at age. Hopefully he can still make plays and he's going to be put in the right positions. And he's going to bring that dominance factor, especially with a secondary that is still pretty young. Brisker's still young. JPJ's still young, but he's bringing in that veteran aspect because he's been in the league for a while, and he has shown that he can be an absolute lockdown top five
corner. And JPJ,
corner.
He's been around some pretty recognizable corners. Darius Slay, despite his play, like, he is an experienced veteran, soon to be Hall of Famer for sure, right, as well as Patrick Peterson and JPJ's rookie year. Like, JPJ has learned from literally the best.
And now you got Jamel Dean out there? And you have Asante Samuel as depth. You have Dalen Everett, who's going to learn from a lot of these guys, including the assistant coaches that they brought in.
Yes.
I also want to add in Patrick Queen. You can't forget the linebackers. Patrick Queen, Peyton Wilson. I'm hoping this is going to be the year that Peyton Wilson breaks out. I was really hoping for it last year, and they played him a lot more on special teams than we anticipated, to the point that we saw Malik Harrison in the starting defense, which was a big mistake.
Yeah, big time.
I'm not saying Peyton Wilson is the perfect linebacker, because he's still got to defend the run, and he's got to be better in pass coverage and the way he reads the defense or reads the offense and doesn't fall for play action a lot. I'm hoping that this defense is going to help him break out and be more of that athlete and that speedster that we need at linebacker. And even for a guy like Patrick Queen, where he's hopefully going to get that sense of what he had with the Ravens defense in his last year, right?
Yeah, Mike Macdonald.
Yes.
Yeah.
That input is crucial. I'm hoping that's going to improve a lot of that area as well, because the linebackers, on paper, they have potential. We haven't seen it yet.
No, we haven't. So I feel like they've been heavily limited for one reason or another. I mean, like, they got to bring the tenacity, intensity to a degree themselves.
But like I
mentioned, being a Steelers linebacker and all, like that's some heavy pedigree to carry for sure.
Oh, you got to have that mindset.
You need to. Like, you're a Steelers linebacker. Like, you got to bring that intensity. You got to bring that consistent play ability.
Yeah, that's one position. Like, you look at the Steelers history, that's one position they have breeded almost all the time.
Arguably better than wide receivers.
Yes, arguably. But lately,
it just hasn't worked. Pretty much, this defense has a lot of potential. And under Patrick Graham, with a new change of scenery, a fresh coat of paint, and the star powers, I'm hoping for a complete 180, a complete turnaround within the rankings. I really am.
Yeah, I agree. You know, with Patrick Graham, he's definitely the one coach on this new coaching staff I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to, because, one, I do think history and stats show that he has done well with far less. Two, I really want the defense to get back to that old school demeanor where when you go up against his defense, you know, one, it's going to be a tough game. Two, you're going to be hurting in the morning, even if you win.
Yeah.
Three, you're not going to get past this that fucking easily. Unfortunately, we haven't had that set of tone or that set of demeanor in the defense for a long time now. I'm hoping he brings that back to the Steel City. Where, you know what, when you go up against this defense and how talented it is and all the playmakers and all the body beaters we got on that team, you're going to be hurting. You're going to be struggling all game. That's what I want to get back to. So I do have high expectations. I'm hoping this defense gets back to what it really needs to. Like, the turnovers and the sacks, that's great. We've had that for years now. That's great. That's the best thing about the defense, is we have been able to make plays when we needed to. But outside of that, everything in between has just been
Swing and a miss.
It's been constant issues that don't get resolved. And it's like, here we go again. It's like, how many times do we have to see that before we actually get changed? Now, the change is here. I'm hoping he fixes a lot of the issues. And with a lot of his input, it gets me excited about this defense. There are definitely high expectations. I'm hoping we can get to a top 10, maybe even top 5 defense with how much that we have. I would say this defense on paper, from a starting lineup, from a depth lineup, is a lot better than last year, a lot better than the year before that even.
It's a lot more stacked. It's a lot more loaded. And again, the pedigree, and the legacy at that. Like, anybody that reps the black and gold and puts on the Steelers uniform, if you're playing defense, you know the legacy you got to live up to. That's just point blank period as a Steeler.
And I think the defense is a good mix of, yeah, we are older on that side. We do have some older guys, but we have a great mix of depth as well. A young depth where these guys can learn from the veterans and then build their way up. And that's where Patrick Graham is going to put them in certain spots to make plays because of the influence that they have from not just the coaches, but the veteran players, right? I think it'll be a good problem to have for the Steelers, for the future especially. It's a good thing, man. So I'm excited for Patrick Graham and what he's going to do, what he's going to bring to the table, and how much change we're actually going to see from the secondary or from the defense in general.
But especially that secondary, because we needed it. We really, really needed it because...
Well, that's why we were so excited when we got Jamel Dean.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that was a signing that I did not expect. I thought Dean would have gotten a bigger market. But seeing the contract that we got him at for his capabilities, it's like, holy crap. Like, JPJ and Jamel Dean as a 1-2 punch at cornerback.
And then you had
with a new defensive coordinator.
Well, first of all, I think Dean's better than Slay from last year.
Oh, 100%.
Like, Dean doesn't come off to me as a freaking rental. He doesn't. So that's already better. You look at our depth at safety. You got Ramsey, you got Elliott, you have Jaquan Brisker. That's much better than Juan Thornhill, who was a starter week one. We had Chuck Clark last year. Remember that? We
I'd
had Kyle
not.
Duggar, who became a liability towards the end of the season. I feel like those areas are better. And you bring in a new coach and new assistant coaches, which, I mean, that entire defense needed a complete wash away, right?
Yes.
Like from the coaching and the scheme and everything. They need a whole wash away. Like, we're still going to run a 3-4. We're still going to run a lot of two linebackers in the middle. But we just needed more of that rotation in the secondary, that more influence, and more of that split safety looks and those zone blitzes, right? That's what Patrick Graham's best at. That's what he's going to bring to the table. Now, the only issue that I have and some concern I have is his points per game allowed. His defensive rankings with his points per game allowed with the Raiders. Not very good.
No, it's not.
In 2023, he allowed 19.5 points per game. And in 2024, he had 25.5 points per game allowed. And in 2025, he had 25.4 points per game allowed. That's got to come down. Along with third down stops. Third down stops have really got to really be improved. Especially third and longs. That was a problem last year,
too. Or fourth down defense, too. I remember that Patriots game, the Week 3 game. We couldn't make a stop on fourth down up until the final play of the game, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But, like, that's got to improve for sure.
Yeah, like, there are some serious issues that still need fixed. I'm hoping Patrick Graham's going to, through time, we're going to see improvement.
Yeah.
We're going to see, hopefully, a stronger, more dominant, definitely more consistent defense in a lot of areas outside of just the sacks and the turnover.
Yeah. You can't always rely on that, and for the past number of years, that was obviously shown that that's not going to bail you out all the time.
Yeah.
Because come wild card, forget about it. Can't do it. Can't get it done. It's not going to bail you out. So.
And I'm hoping, you know, another thing we have to add to the defense through Tomlin and Austin is, I'll be fair, they also didn't have the greatest offense to bounce off of because the defense was on the field 95% of the time.
Yeah.
You got to point that out as well. So that didn't help. I'm hoping this offense is really going to help this year's defense as well with new play calling Mike McCarthy.
Sure.
It goes hand in hand. So
did you say the same thing about the Raiders with Patrick Graham leading the charge on defense with the points per game?
Yes.
Yes. With Geno Smith?
Yeah.
Especially last year.
Oh, my
year.
God. Their three and out situation was one of the worst in the league last year.
Yeah. It wasn't good.
With Geno Smith at quarterback.
Yeah. So I can totally understand with there's only so much that a defense can do if they're constantly on the football field.
Right.
Which is why I'm hoping that the offense isn't as bad going three and out. But even then, like when the defense is going to need to be leaned on, hopefully they can be more dependable than they were in previous years.
And Patrick Graham has shown that through the Raiders and what he's had to deal with, not just from his characters and his cast on the defense, but what he had to deal with from the offensive side as well.
Well, three different head coaches during his stint there too. Different leaders as head coach.
How many different starting quarterbacks?
Yeah. And he was always the one guy that stuck around with the Raiders. Honestly, one of the true diamonds in the rough, honestly, I would say, just based off the rankings alone.
To me, that kind of speaks volumes. So I think that alone is a good way to close this out where we trust Patrick Graham. I do have high expectations.
I do expect a improved defense, a more dominant defense. That's what I do expect, and I do look forward to it.
Not just that, but also players to step up in bigger roles now.
Yes.
Guys like Queen, in a contract year especially, guys like Peyton Wilson. Guys along the defense and in the front seven and in the secondary. It's going to be interesting. So when it comes into Steelers football this year, I'm really looking forward to how the defense is going to operate and just especially how more consistent they're going to be or how the secondary is going to look. It'll be very interesting. I want to get back to that dominance factor where when an offense sees the Steelers on the schedule, they're shaking in their boots before they even look at the film.
It's like they look at the team and they look at it and they're like, yeah, we got to watch out for that.
Like,
they're going to be trouble.
Like, it's going to be a rough week. Here
yeah,
we go.
As soon as the offense comes on the field, man, they're already shaking.
Like, we're not going to get back to the steel curtain defense or the 2008-2010 because it's a completely different.
It's a safer league. I mean, you're not going to be seeing Ryan Clark hits anymore.
Unfortunately not.
You're not going to be seeing Debo spine buster people anymore. You know what I'm saying?
No. But through how the league and time changes, you know, there's still like we need to get back to that dominant defense. Like you mentioned, the Texans, right?
The Texans and the Broncos. I mean, they're two of the best defenses, in my opinion, in the league. Like, they are just always up on their players. They are always just dominant, just tenacious, consistent.
Hard to get through.
And able to get sacks and takeaways at the same time. Like, they got some good leaders as DC's leading the charge with some great talent, some great pedigree there.
And now that we have a head coach that's actually going to give full power to the coordinator on the defensive side, we'll see what happens.
Yes. But anyway, guys, that's the video. I hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you guys so very much for tuning in. Let us know what you guys think down in the comments below about Patrick Graham leading the charge. And let us know what you guys think on how you feel about the defense going into the regular season. Let us know down in the comments below.
And as a matter of fact, give us your guys' ranking predictions. Where do you guys think the defense is going to rank this upcoming season? We still got a month and a half, 2 months till we actually start seeing Steelers football again. But just like 2026, it's flying by. It'll be here before you know it.
Exactly.
But happy June. Mandatory minicamp starts tomorrow. So it'll be very interesting to see, you know, the continued roles for the rookies, and A-Rod's going to be there, and obviously a lot of media. It's going to be crazy.
And so, just to hear what comes out of mandatory minicamp and continued OTAs from the coaches, the rookies, and of course, you know, even the young guys at quarterback, see what their development is.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting. But again, guys, thank you guys for tuning in. Let us know what you guys think down in the comments. And as always, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you later.
Peace!